This episode is brought to you by Windrose Recovery, a family of premier addiction treatment programs in southeastern Wisconsin. Privately owned, Windrose Recovery offers a full continuum of personalized care for those struggling with addiction, including the Manor for residential treatment, Midwest Detox for inpatient detoxification, and Windrose Counseling for outpatient treatment. With highly personalized treatment focused on trauma, Dr. Chantel Thomas and her expert team offer an authentic experience, creating the kind of deep emotional change that's crucial for long-term recovery. If you or someone you love is struggling with addiction, call Windrose Recovery at 414-409-5300. You can learn more about Windrose Recovery by clicking the link in the show notes or by visiting WindroseRecovery.com. Thank you for listening to The Path to Authenticity. My name's Tom Gentry. I think of the show as the opposite of small talk. You'll hear real conversations with real people who know who they are. We talk about what makes them who they are, how they became who they are, and how we might become truer expressions of who we are.
I'm Alessandro Montelli, and this is The Path to Authenticity.
Nowhere to run, nothing to hide from the government's prying eye. Take yourself a summer holiday.
The Path to Authenticity proudly supports the I Speak Media Foundation, advancing media literacy education through an evolving series of outreach programs within the communities that need it most. For more information, visit ispeakmedia.org. If this is your first time here, thanks for checking it out. If not, thanks for coming back. I'm Tom Gentry. This is The Path to Authenticity. If you don't mind, take a couple minutes. There's a link in the show notes for the listener survey. Just trying to do what I can to improve this and make this more pleasing to you all. So I appreciate any input. This is episode 111 for February 23rd, 2021. On this day, Dakota Fanning, Emily Blunt, Josh Gad, and Aziz Ansari were born. On this day in 1540, Coronado began his unsuccessful search for the seven fabled cities of gold in the American Southwest. In 1778, Baron von Steuben joined the Continental Army at Valley Forge. In 1821, the poet John Keats died of tuberculosis at the age of 25. In 1836, the Alamo was besieged by Santa Anna and his troops. In 1846, the Liberty Bell was tolled for the last time to honor George Washington's birthday. In 1847, forces led by Zachary Taylor defeated the Mexican army at the Battle of Buena Vista. In 1861, Texas became the seventh state to secede from the Union. In 1898, the writer Émile Zola was imprisoned in France. In 1936, in Russia, an unmanned balloon rose to a record height of 25 miles. In 1938, 12 Chinese fighter planes bombed Japan. In 1942, a Japanese submarine shelled an oil refinery off the coast of Santa Barbara, California, the first Axis bombs to hit American soil. In 1945, Eisenhower opened a large offensive in the Rhineland. Also in 1945, American Marines planted the flag atop Mount Suribachi on Iwo Jima. In 1954, mass inoculation began as Jonas Salk's polio vaccine was given to children for the first time. And in 1972, the activist Angela Davis was released from jail. So this episode features an Italian singer, songwriter, musician named Alessandro Montelli, who lives and works in Toronto. He's a really nice guy. He's going for it. And I just really appreciated him taking the time to be on the show, so I hope you enjoy it. Alessandro Montelli. You're a Toronto-based musician, is that right?
Yeah, exactly.
And how would you describe your music to the listeners?
My music, right, the direction I've been going right now is alternative pop.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are there any influences that you'd care to identify or?
Sure. Like I've been listening. I grew up with a lot of alternative bands, like 30 Seconds to Mars, Linkin Park. Some people even say that my new song that I just released sounds a little bit like Panic at the Disco.
Okay.
And those are, yeah, I appreciate a comment like that because those are some of the bands that I grew up with that always inspire me to these days. Yeah.
And now, I assume you grew up in Italy?
I did, yeah.
And then when did you immigrate to Canada? Yeah.
So I moved to Canada, Toronto, in 2016. But since I was a kid, I used to come back and forward to visit my family because half of my family lives here. So they're the ones who actually immigrated here in the 60s, my grandparents. And yeah, then my mother, she was born in Toronto and she moved to Italy. She got married there and all that. And at one point, 4 or 5 years ago, I decided to kind of move my career in Toronto and try to grow my music a little more. And that's why basically I moved to Toronto.
So it's interesting to me, you know, I'm an American, so my first thought is, why would your family immigrate to Canada rather than America? Do you know why?
Well, I'm sure, and I know that in Italy there weren't a lot of opportunity back then.
Mm-hmm.
My grandparents specifically, they had some family who immigrated in America before them. Some mm-hmm. of them were in Canada. Some of them were in, I believe, Chicago.
Okay.
And yeah, but my grandma, she has a brother who moved in Toronto before her. And I guess he brought them over. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. But it was mainly for work and to try to make, create a better life here. That's what they did. Successfully, I believe.
Good. So, yeah. Have you always been a musician?
Yeah. I started being a musician, getting into music when I was a little kid. I was probably around 10 years old. And my parents, they just love music. They never really make music. I believe like they put me in this path and this journey. Started playing piano, taking piano lessons for a few years, and then everything followed. Yeah.
So what about guitar? When did you start playing guitar?
Guitar is, it's a funny story because my Canadian Italian grandma, of course, she gifted me with a classic guitar, which I almost never touched because I felt like I never liked the sound of the acoustic, the classic guitar. And, then at one point I got an acoustic guitar on one of my birthdays back home from some friends. And that's where I connected with the instrument. That's what I would say. And started learning chords and, songs basically. And you know, 3-4 years, whatever it was of practice got me to, I don't want to say the level I am now because I don't believe I'm a guitar player, but, at least, you know, I feel like I'm able to, sing and play guitar basically. Yeah.
So what was it about the classical guitar? Was it the nylon strings?
Yeah, basically the sound. Yeah. So yeah. The strings and everything. Yeah.
So
I wasn't attracted to that. Yeah.
And but the steel string
basically. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was always attracted to electric guitars. The thing is I never really got an electric guitar. So I feel like, you know, I'm not really, capable with that, cause I haven't practiced that much, but I've been focusing a lot on the acoustic guitar in the past, I don't know, 6-7 years. And yeah, it's an instrument after me learning piano and all that, performing with piano, it's the second instrument that I've been able to connect with and, express myself with basically.
So you are, would you say you like piano more?
I always say that piano is my first love kind of thing because I started playing piano when I was really young. And I would say that thanks to learning piano, I was able to move myself on other instruments, whether it was singing, so my vocal, my voice, or the guitar, or even the drums, which I enjoy playing sometimes.
So how old were you when you began to write music?
I was 15 when I began to write songs in my room. Of course, back home. Yeah, I was 15.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then how long was it before you performed original work? I assume like most musicians, when they start to play publicly, they cover a lot of songs, right?
Yeah, exactly. I started, I started when I was 17 in my high school projects and all that. I started performing live, singing and playing piano, but mainly as a singer. Yeah. So I was getting myself out there in front of a school audience as a singer for the first time. Yeah. Because before that, I was just playing piano and doing piano concerts, basically.
So yeah. Now I'm trying to remember. You cover a Black Keys song, right? I was listening to some of your. Which tune is that? It's from the Brothers record, I think.
Yeah, Lonely Boy.
Lonely Boy. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's such a different vibe.
I know, right?
It is.
The thing with me is I've always been playing in bands too. So like right now I'm pushing my own songs as a solo artist. But I always collaborate with other musicians. So one of the band that I've been playing with in Toronto for the past almost 2 years, I think, we covered some of those rock songs, and that's one of the one that stand out to me, and I wanted to cover it. That's why I did.
Yeah, you know that record, the 10th anniversary. They just released the 10th anniversary edition on vinyl with a couple new songs that I picked up. I love that record. And it's amazing to me. You know, I mentioned it's a different feel what you do. I mean, it's very soulful. Not that the other isn't, but it rocks, you know, and yours is more, you know, almost like you could dance to it, you know? I mean, right?
Yeah. I can see that.
And it amazes me. It's one of the wonderful things about music, that how it can be great. A song can be great with one person's interpretation, but equally as great with someone else's that can be completely different. But I don't know that I don't know that a lot of songs, I don't know, maybe it has to be a really good song to be that universal. What do you think?
For we're talking about Lonely Boy, right?
Yeah. Song like that. I mean, I don't think you can take any song and just, you know, play it from two different genres basically and have it be equally as powerful, right?
Gotcha. I feel like maybe it's my vocals in that case that it's kind of powerful, at least what people keep telling me. But the song itself, it's a very simple song, like 2-3 chords. So I was able to, you know, learn it and perform it my own way, of course.
Yeah.
But I would say it's a simple song. Like you said, it's a universal song, very catchy.
Well, and I'll tell you, I'm usually the guy that when I hear a cover song on the radio or whatever, almost invariably I don't like it, you know? So, I mean, I liked it. I did. It was, you know, I don't know. There's something about, I don't know. I feel like when you cover a song, you know, you have to honor the song, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, in a way, and I feel like you were able to do that. So
thank you. Appreciate it.
So now, where do you see yourself going musically? What do you have, like, some, what are your goals at this point? I mean, obviously record deal type of thing, or what are you shooting for at this point?
I feel like my goals have always been the same, which would be like sharing my music, my talent or message with as many people as possible. And of course, eventually get a record deal, or let's call it a way, an opportunity to do that, to expand myself and my music. Cause I've just literally been focusing on that for the past 10 years or more. Of course, you know, working, here and there to support myself, especially now that I'm living by myself in Toronto. But, eventually I want to be able to, make music for a living, right? And that's basically it.
So now, you said your parents were very supportive of you being a musician?
Yeah.
Did you were there ever detractors? Were there ever people in your life who tried to discourage you from taking that path, or no?
I would say a couple friends here and there, but like anyone of your closest friends who could be like, are you seriously doing this? Or sometimes joking about you becoming the next, the next star or whatever. Some people in my family maybe, but in general, they're all supportive, but of course they kind of worry about this path, right?
Yeah.
It's a very tough industry, and most of the time you need strong connections to move to the next step. But I feel like I'm doing everything on my own, independently, and trying to generally connect with people, as I did with you, for example. Yeah. And just trying to build my way up, I guess.
Yeah, well, I mean, just kind of observing you on social media, it seems apparent to me that you're putting forth the effort there to connect with people and, you know, just be present and
basically,
and really participate. But, you know, I asked about the the, you know, the, I don't know, haters, I guess, you know, one of the reasons why I really wanted to start this podcast is because I feel like we all deserve to do what you're doing, you know, to do what we really want to do with our lives. And I think especially in America, there's so many people who are so unfulfilled. And they had, you know, we all have dreams.
We do, yeah.
We do, but so many people just give up on them, you know? And for, and, you know, I don't know. I know I'm, you know, I play a little bit of guitar. I love to listen to music. I love live shows, but, you know, I never really aspired to be a musician. But had I, I'm pretty sure I know what kind of response I would have gotten from the people around me. And they may not have, they may not, and whether I had talent or not, they may not have, they may not have, directly discouraged me, but they probably would have indirectly. And I just say that because, and I mean, maybe part of it's, you know, having grown up in a manufacturing town where there are a lot of factory jobs, you know, I saw an awful lot of people who, you know, just wanted to be in a band and, you know, their parents or whoever was involved would say things like, sooner or later, he's just going to have to grow up.
Yeah. And that's the pressure, exactly the pressure that I feel sometimes from some people in my family or society in general too. Right. But I feel like I can never give up on music and I need to reach my goal and stay focused. That's what I always try to do, to be honest.
Well, and you know, I don't know. How old are you?
I'm 29 right now.
So I'm, you know, significantly older than you, but I really believe that if we just do what's on our hearts, things work out. And it you know, it may not be that you're going to be the next Bob Dylan. Or write a Pulitzer Prize winning novel or whatever.
Yeah.
But even if you fail, you'll have tried and you'll find your way. You'll find your way. And personally, one of the things, for me, I loved baseball, you know, and, and as a little kid, really, that's all I wanted to do. Play baseball. And my parents were pretty good about telling me, my mom especially, you know, as long as you try hard and you practice, you can, you know, you can do anything you want.
Yeah. That's a great message.
Effort, you know? And so I took that to heart and I tried really hard. And then, you know, I had this teacher in sixth grade. And he had never seen me play, but it was the kind of teacher who had his pets, you know, there were the kids he liked and we would just talk. I mean, he never even really taught and, you know, like the homework I had for, I never did it, but I always got an A, you know, and there were a lot of kids like that in his class, but he, you know, he wasn't really doing what he wanted to be doing, obviously, but he just, you know, decided to teach probably so he could have the summers off. But, you know, we would just sit and talk. And one day he was talking to us about what we wanted to be when we grew up. And I said, I'm going to play baseball. And he's like, I don't know. I'm like, no, I'm gonna, you know, I mean, I'm practicing really hard. I'm going to try. And he said, well, it's one in a million. And I'm like, well, I'm going to be that. And he just, you know, he shit on it. That's what he did. And at the time it was somebody who I looked up to.
Okay.
And, you know, I continued to play for about 4 more years.
Mm-hmm.
And I did well. Mm-hmm. I mean, and there were times eventually he saw me play and complimented my play, but that I didn't forget that. And, you know, little by little, a couple things. I kind of resigned to the fact that he was right. And I just decided to stop playing a few years later. And I could have played still in high school for a couple more years. There were club teams that I could have continued playing on. I could have played at a small college. I mean, there were a lot of options that I had, but at that age, because I saw that being a Major League Baseball player was no longer a possibility because I took that message to heart from him, I instead stopped. Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, now when I look back, it's actually probably the only one real regret that I have in my life, that I stopped playing, because if I had it to do over again, I loved it so much. I would play as much as I possibly could for as long as I could. And what I didn't have the wisdom to realize then was that even if I didn't become a Major League Baseball player, or even make the minor leagues or anything beyond, amateur level, maybe I became a coach.
Yeah,
maybe I became a scout. Maybe I became a groundskeeper at a baseball, maybe I worked in the office of a baseball team. There's so many other things that I could have done.
Yeah.
If you I stuck maybe, with it, you know?
Yeah. You could have found a way maybe
at least to have it in my life. And that was the point. I wanted it in my life because I loved it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get that.
So, I'm professionally, I'm a substance abuse counselor. I meet a fair amount of young men who've given up on their dreams, I deal with parents too. And I've had the dad who tells me, I had a client who was a self-taught guitarist who fingerpicked, he fingerpicked, but he taught himself to do it. So, like, I'd watch him play, and I'd never seen anybody play like this before. I mean, I'm not the one to judge whether he's really a great guitarist or not, but he had his own style. You know,
His own way to express.
Right, and it was beautiful. And, this kid, he had gone to college for, quite a while and nearly drank himself to death. And had been to rehab several times, and I'm pretty big on, you have to do what you want to do. You have to be happy, or else you're not gonna. Why would you stop drinking or using drugs? That you have to learn how to be happy, and so you have to do what you want to do, or at least try. And all he wanted to do was get a job at a music store and be around other musicians and figure out somehow, some way to get on stage, whether it was at a small club or, he wanted to try, he wanted to do it. And this dad kept saying to me, he's only a few credits away from an accounting degree. And he over and over again. And finally I just said, do you want a dead accountant, or do you want a living son who works at the music store and plays in the bars on the weekends? Which would you rather have?
That's a great question. I feel like some people they just don't get it, right? Like you said, we need to find our own way to be happy and with ourselves first. And I struggle with that too. I try not to follow people that tell me you gotta, at one point you have to grow up eventually, or find a job with benefits, all that.
And
I mean, I live in Canada. I know that here compared to Italy back home, there's a lot more of opportunity. And I also experienced a few of them since I moved here. But again, I wasn't happy. Like you said, I wasn't happy working, in retail or in a restaurant or whatever. And I always tried to find a way to go out there, to put myself out there with music. Cause that's what makes me myself, makes me happy.
Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. I'm glad you're doing it. And, you know, that's part of the reason why, aside from doing this podcast to spread that sort of message, this is also part of my way of doing the same thing myself. You know, it is because I've always been interested in media. I liked the radio a lot as a kid. And, you know, I've just always loved stuff like this.
Yeah. I get that.
So, yeah, it's, I think a lot of people, I think there's jealousy. And I think the jealousy a lot of times is really about, well, I had to give up on my dream, so you have to give up on yours too.
Sure. Yeah, I can totally see that.
Yeah.
And in some cases,
yeah. 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 I mean, by all means, not everyone, but I think that's part of the time, part of why we see that. And then another thing that kind of drives me crazy, that's sort of related, is this, there's an attitude, and maybe it's American, I don't know, but there's an attitude that some people have that if you're a musician or performer of some kind, actor, you shouldn't have opinions about politics. And, you know, there's one particular musician that I follow who, you know, he has a lot of convictions. He knows what he believes in, and and he is the way I think I would be, or I am, is that I feel like, you know, if you have a voice, you have a responsibility to speak truth and to stand up for what you believe in. And, you know, and so he does that. He does that like on Twitter, and, you know, he makes comments politically, and some of his songs, you know, have political commentary in them, and he'll invariably have these fans who just take shots at him and basically say, shut up and sing. And I was thinking about it the other day, because usually he'll when somebody does something like that, a lot of times he'll take a screenshot and post it with his response, you know, and he's really funny. He's good at it. But you know, just thinking about it, I think it's because, again, it's jealousy that this other person has a platform and you don't.
Yeah. Or this other person knows how to say things, or to get a reaction and all that. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're just spectators who aren't really participating in anything, and they're just sitting back and criticizing someone who has the courage to be real and say what's on their mind.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's sad, you know, that someone will go through their life that way. And the internet can be pretty brutal too. People can be pretty terrible on the internet.
Yeah, I know.
How has social media worked for you in spreading the word about your music? Has it been effective?
I think so. I can definitely say that there's been a growth through the years. I don't feel like I got so much hate in that sense. Maybe because I haven't promoted my stuff too much, or in a way where on platforms where you get positive and negative comments as well. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I could talk about, there's so many Instagram pages that I've been looking at lately in Toronto, and you know, there's every type of comments. So you could promote your song over there, and you have to be ready to,
yeah,
for a positive and negative response or honest response if they actually like or do not like the song and all that. Mm-hmm. But my circle, my friends, and the people that follow me have been great on sharing and spreading the word out for me, I believe. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things, I don't know, criticism of art, I have a little bit of an issue with too, you know?
What sense?
Well, I mean, and I'm saying it like from the perspective of a writer, because I've written for newspapers, and I've thought about what, you know, I love music. Would I want to cover music? Well, I wouldn't mind writing about music, but I don't think I would want to write a negative review of someone's record, you know? And it's not because there's not music I don't like. I mean, it's just because who am I to say whether it's good or bad? Right. Yeah. I mean, I mean, you think about, there's some pretty successful artists out there who, you know, they're not Frank Sinatra.
Yeah.
They, you know, Bob Dylan doesn't have a great voice. I mean, he's learned how to use it, but he doesn't have a great voice. Neil Young doesn't have a great voice.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these are like next level legendary artists.
True.
So, you know, I mean, I'm sure there were critics at a certain point who probably did listen to both of them and said terrible things about their, you know, this is terrible or whatever. But, and I don't know. I don't know if it's even a worthwhile endeavor to like, I'm all for spreading the word about someone's music, to share with people what I like, but I don't know. I couldn't see myself doing the opposite at all. I would just,
because
it doesn't feel right, you know?
Yeah. Why would you want to deal with negativity or negative energy and put yourself in that position? I mean, I guess sometimes it's just a job for critics and music journalists and all that, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just subjective. So,
yeah,
they actually just say what they think, if they like the song, if they don't. Yeah, there are so many aspects in this industry that.
Yeah, you know, and it's like that. We talked about the Black Keys record, Brothers. I mean, critics trashed that record. I remember they reposted like some quote from a critic recently, as they were doing this re-release, and it basically said, it could be good, it's just that all the songs are bad, or something like that. And I listened to that track after track. How could you say any of those songs are bad? I mean, they're all catchy songs. They're all good songs. It baffles me. I don't get it. You know, it's weird. And I don't know, to me, art just adds so much flavor to life.
Yeah.
And I think we undervalue it. I think some of us undervalue it and take it for granted. You know, and I think especially now with COVID-19, I mean, when's the last time you played live somewhere?
I got lucky during the pandemic. I did a couple gigs, but, you know, socially distanced gigs, probably two or three, but everything else was online, right?
Yeah.
It's been pretty hard to cope with that and not being able to go out, network, and just see a live show. And I was actually able, though, to go. I didn't perform that night, but I was, I knew the organizer and all the people there. I was actually able to watch a drive-in concert three, four months ago in, downtown Toronto. That was pretty great. It was the closest thing we had so far to a real concert.
Yeah, I've watched some of those online, but not in the car, you know? And I guess the upside of it is, you know, at one point I had a thought, you know, somebody should create an IGTV guide just a guide for all the live music that you can see on IGTV now, especially in the beginning of the pandemic. But, you know, one of my favorite bands, the lead singer, he does a live at home with his wife and kids, like five nights a week, And he plays his songs and he plays cover songs, and it's just great. You know, I mean, it really is. And it's a creative expression that didn't exist before as much, or maybe occasionally it did, but not like that, you know?
Yeah. And yeah, five nights a week, it's quite a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, to the point where it was like, they practically turned it into a TV show and has their own theme song for it. And I mean, it's called the Tweety Show. And it's it's the band Wilco. It's the lead singer's name is Jeff Tweedy. And they run it through his wife's Instagram feed. And he's got grown kids who are both musicians and just keep getting better and better. And they all play together and it's a blast, you know, and they're funny and it's like fun to see what they're going to play. You know, it's always lots of surprises. And but that's just an example of how, you know, we've all had to find ways to innovate with this pandemic. It's critical. And I think to me, that's the key to keeping your sanity with this, is not staying stuck in, you know, man, I want to get back to normal, but find a way to create something different. Find a way to innovate, make the best of it. So, have you done any live stuff on your Instagram or anywhere else?
Yeah. Not as much as five times a week, but
that's a lot.
I've been doing a few here and there. Yeah, on my Facebook page or Instagram.
You probably have to promote it quite a bit, right?
As a independent artist or small artist, whatever you want to call it, you gotta promote it or tell people ahead of time so they can tune in at a certain time and all that. But it's fun when people tune in and they actually say hi, or you know, they're just interested. And but other than that, I've been focusing on I haven't been going in the studio as much as before, but I've been focusing on putting some stuff together, especially for the new song that I just dropped. And
now what's that?
It's called Life. Very short title. Yeah. And
And it's on Spotify?
Yeah, it's on Spotify, Apple Music, and I just released the video a couple of days ago on YouTube.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I can put a link to that.
Sure.
In the show notes for the podcast.
Sure. Thank you.
So, are you working on like a full length record or anything like that?
To be honest, not really. It used to be one of my goals to make an album, but seeing how music kind of changed and developed in the past few years, I'm just thinking of putting out singles and one by one and promote them as a singles. And I feel like it's the thing that makes more sense nowadays. And, you know, at the end of the day, you're still going to have an album on Spotify or, right, you know, on the streaming platforms. Once you release 10 singles, you can still consider an album. And it's easier to kind of promote them one by one. I've been following a lot of artists and I'm trying myself to drop something every month, being consistent, which is the artist thing to do. Mm-hmm. And and give my followers and fans some content every month and try to grow from there, you know.
Do you know about Patreon?
I know about Patreon. Yeah, I haven't tried it yet, I'll be honest with you.
What's the hesitancy?
What's up?
Why do you hesitate to try it? I'm just curious.
It's like Twitch, for example. It's another platform that I haven't tried yet. And I always say that I want to sign up and try it. But I feel like every platform you need to build your audience from scratch. Yeah. Or you have to bring your main audience, which for me would be Facebook and Instagram, to that other platforms. And I don't know, if sometimes it feels like a lot of work, to be honest.
No. I've had community. I'm not sure how have you work, tried community? Yeah. People are talking about that now. What's the name of the new app that's not community? What am I thinking?
Is it like a substitute of WhatsApp?
No.
No.
I don't think so, but it's a there's an audio feature that's I'll tell you what it is here in a second.
I heard community before. I think I heard that one. I almost have it in my mind. I can't.
No, it's Clubhouse Community.
Clubhouse. Okay. Yeah, I heard about that, but
I don't know. I've heard it's supposed to be good for creative people, but I might give it a try. But you're right. I mean, one of the things I've read about in like building a following online is to, you know, focus on one.
Yeah.
Because it is a lot of work and I don't have time to like focus on all of them. And so I use Facebook. I post new episodes on Facebook. Most of the time I post new episodes on Instagram. I like using Instagram stories, but, you know, I have a better following on Facebook than not really, but I mean, I'm connected to more people on Facebook.
Yeah, I would say it's the same for me, especially because so many people from Italy, they follow me there. And some of them are, you know, not as young as I am, and they might just use Facebook. So I need to keep track of both of them. But, you know, there's always new platforms, and I'm sure they're going to keep coming, right?
Of course.
Even TikTok, it's something that everyone is telling me to get on.
So you're not on TikTok either?
I am.
Oh, you are.
It's just, it's very hard to keep up with it and make at least one video every day.
I don't think I want to do it. I don't think I want to. I've thought about that too, because, you know, I could play around with audio from the podcast and promote it on there.
Yeah, at the end of the day, it's free promotion for all of us. And you never know, you might find your audience over there and people that like what you do, you know what I
mean?
But you have to be consistent and you have to post every day, basically. Yeah.
Do you use anything like Hootsuite? You know what I'm talking about?
No, actually, no.
It's an app that, you know, you can manage your social media posts from one platform.
Oh.
And there's a free version of it where you can have three different accounts on it. So, like, I have one where I have my Instagram, my Facebook, and Twitter.
What is the name again?
It's called Hootsuite. H-O-O-T. Hootsuite.
Okay.
Hootsuite. Yeah.
Yeah. I have to look into
it. Yeah. I mean, it is something that I haven't figured out all the intricacies of it yet, like hashtagging and all that. It's not quite as easy as just going right on the app and posting, but it is, you can do one post and you can have it in three different places.
The same post. Yeah.
And you know, with whatever subtle changes you might need to make. So the photo looks right or whatever, you know, but it's a lot easier and you can schedule ahead of time, you know? So it's a good way to plan and to have some kind of consistency. Not that I've done it, but eventually
neither did I.
Yeah,
I know there's a couple apps that helps you with scheduling on social media, but I haven't used it. I'll be honest.
Well, I mean, the thing is, I'm sure you've come to this conclusion yourself that, I mean, like with this podcast, I could work around the clock trying to promote it online and never be done. Not even close. Right? I mean, there's just so much out there that you could do. So for me, it's, I don't know, I guess, and, you know, I have a job too. I have to make a living other ways too, at least for now. So, but you know, I think, probably like you, it's slowly growing.
Yeah.
You know, consistency. Like, I didn't start doing this until I was ready to commit to having at least one episode every week. You know, and I haven't missed. So,
how long ago did you start with this?
In May of 2019.
Oh, okay.
This is going to be, I don't know what number episode yet, but somewhere between 110 and 115, you know? So I have... Mm-hmm. I mean, as you saw my scheduler that I put together, you use that. I mean, that's pretty recent. And, man, as soon as I started using that, I got a bunch of people. I did six interviews last week. I mean, so I have a lot of content ahead
that's
now, which
amount,
is good.
Yeah, it's
good. So, but also, and then, you know, some of it I want to be a little more timely. So like I chose which one to release tomorrow based on, you know, the timeliness. It was a little more political and we talked about the inauguration and, you know, I wanted to get it out as close to it as I could. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, but consistency is, it's pretty important.
Yeah. It's the key, basically. Yeah.
So is there anything else you'd like people to know about you or anything else you'd like to talk about?
Well, like I said, I'm focusing on this new single and I'm focusing on promoting it everywhere. And so for all the listeners, I would love if they go stream the new song. It's called Life, and watch the new music video that I personally love. And yeah, feel free to connect with me and follow me on my social media.
All right. So I got to ask you the one question I ask everyone at the end. So looking back on your life, when was a time when you needed some advice or support? When would that have been? And if you had the opportunity to go back, what would you say?
Yeah. There was a time for sure. And I believe it was 2017, after a couple of years that I moved to Toronto. And for a series of reasons, including me living in the suburbs and not being able to connect with a lot of musicians and, you know, just music-related stuff, I would say. I was feeling very anxious and depressed, and I found a way to kind of look for help. So, like, I believe it was a counselor or someone in the community here in Vaughan, which is an area close to Toronto, basically out of Toronto, where I used to live. And I found a couple people in that community in the, I think it was Costi. I don't know if you're familiar with Costi, but it's, they basically have services and help for immigrants, right? So I started basically, I started going to this place called Costi, and, soon after, they put me into workshops and networking events and all that. And there was a person called Tejo, and she really believed in me, and she wanted to guide me in my music journey. And yeah, she helped me a lot. She directed me to a counselor and kind of helped me simply, you know, connecting with people and showing my my talent and my goals in life. And it was like 6 months that I kept in contact with these people and going back and forth. And I could really see after that, I could really see an improvement in my mental health and connections and all that. So I'm kind of grateful for that moment. Yeah.
So you asked for help.
Yeah, basically, yeah, because I was going through depression, anxiety, and all that, and I wanted to figure out what was wrong and how could I improve, or I don't know, connect with people, I guess, connect with people and feel appreciated for my music, for my talent.
Well, you know, I don't know. I think it takes a lot of courage just to pursue a profession the way that you are, this type of profession. And on top of that, you know, it takes a tremendous amount of courage for someone, whether you had visited Toronto or not, to move to another country where you don't speak the language or the second language, you know,
yeah.
I mean, and I could see where, if you're in the suburbs and you're nowhere near any of the work that takes place and you don't know anybody, that would it. But I applaud you for, you know, it takes a lot of courage to do all this and you're doing it.
Thank you. Yeah. My family, I would say luckily / unfortunately, they live out of Toronto. They don't live in the city, but you know, when I moved here, I kind of wanted to do bigger stuff with music, but then I realized right away that I needed to be in the city to be able to connect and being in the industry more. And it took me some time to figure it out. I was going through a relationship with my ex-girlfriend and all that, but it took me 2-3 years. But as soon as I kind of moved in the city, I was able to connect with people and I don't know, just be out there a little more and make things happen, you know.
Listen, I appreciate you coming on, and I look forward to seeing how your career unfolds, and
thank you so much.
I'll definitely share your song, and I hope you'll come back
for
you
sure,
know, and keep me posted, you know. Love to help any way I can.
Sure. Thanks a lot, Tom.
All right, man. Have a great one.
You too.
There you go. Alessandro Montelli.
So, again, please take the time to complete the listener survey. There's a link in the show notes. You can find the show on Amazon, Apple Podcasts, Breaker, Google Podcasts, Listen Notes, Overcast, Pandora, Podbay, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, Radio Public, Spotify, Stitcher, YouTube, and more. If you enjoy listening to the show, please take the time to leave a review, a rating, or both on Apple Podcasts, on Podchaser, or wherever you listen. There are, again, links in the show notes. If you know someone who would enjoy a particular episode or the show in general, please send them a link. Share it with them. If you have questions or comments, you can call and leave a voice message at 561-247-4757, or you can email the show at thepathtoauthenticity@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. For early access to the newest episode, as well as unedited interviews, you can support the show on Patreon for as little as $1 a month. That's patreon.com/thepathtoauthenticity. I want to thank the band Punk Rock Opera, whose music you hear throughout the show. Their songs are used with permission from the artist under a Creative Commons license. Please visit the website, thepathtoauthenticity.com. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Instagram. Hear our Saturday playlist and Sunday playlist on Spotify. Thanks again to Alessandro Montelli. Be well, you guys. Be nice.
I died on the street. We need a guitar player.
The Path to Authenticity is powered by Equivox. For digital marketing and web design services, visit equivox.com.